Good morning. This is Pearls in Swine on Good News You Can Use, a podcast of Evangel Community Church. And it is Travis here and my good friend Lisa, who is on the road today. So we've technically got like our first live caller here. So that's pretty cool, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, I think we're going to be working through Nehemiah, right? And as we're coming to a close in the sermon series that we've been doing, that Pastor Levi has been walking us through in Nehemiah. And this week, we are looking at chapter 13, and it's kind of a strange chapter because Nehemiah, you might remember, he came to Jerusalem with his goal of rebuilding the wall, and the people were on board with him, and they faced several setbacks. And then just a few chapters ago, in chapter 10, the people were so overcome by what they heard from the word of God that they repented, and then they reestablished their covenant with God, and they promised that they were going to live according to that covenant. And then just three chapters later, Nehemiah finds them having broken every single one of the covenants that they had made with God, that they had committed. And so he comes back and he is livid. The Nehemiah who begins the book, who's kind of meek in some ways, he's definitely a leader and willing to take the people on this big project of rebuilding the wall. He comes back with this fury, this righteous anger. And this is what we find. I mean, in Nehemiah 13, he's beating people, pulling out their beards. I mean, it's like the makings of a crazy movie for sure. But this is where we find Nehemiah. He's calling them once again to repentance, and he's asking them to repent for the very same thing that they had committed to God that they were not going to do just three chapters ago.
Yeah, and what's crazy is you just walk through chapter 11 and 12, and they're dedicating the temple wall as it's been finished, and they're just having this big worship and praise party and like rejoicing in all the good things that God has done and the joy that he's restored in them. And yeah, it doesn't take them all that long to go back to the way that they were before. And Nehemiah, like you said, is not thrilled about this in the least bit.
No, he is mad. So are you going to read some of the chapter, Travis?
Yep. We'll go in there. So yeah, the first part starts out there. They're on the day that the book of Moses was to be read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned that curse into a blessing, and when the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. So what happens here then is that these things aren't supposed to happen, and Nehemiah comes back and finds that, guess what, these things did happen. And so that's the start of his kind of his righteous tirade, we'll call it. So all that stuff was going on when Nehemiah wasn't there. And so he comes back and he finds these things, and he asks them in verse 11, he says, "So I rebuked the officials and I asked them, 'Why is the house of God neglected?' Then I called them together and I stationed them at their posts. All of Judah brought their tithes, their offerings that they were to bring to the storerooms." And he takes some of the leaders that were in charge there that were considered trustworthy, and he made them responsible for distributing the supplies to the fellow Levites that were there. And this is he's already angry at what's going on, and then he starts his prayer, and he says, "Remember me," in verse 13, "remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services."
Yeah, this is just so interesting to me that they so quickly turn, which I mean, I'm always fascinated. And also I like to think on a good day, I think, oh, that would never be me. But also on that same good day, I'm like, oh yeah, right. It's Tuesday. I'm a human just like them. And Nehemiah he so understands God's best for his people. It is, it's amazing to me the kind of leader that he is, that he will not tolerate sin, and he will not tolerate them going back on the word that they gave to God.
Yeah, and I'm kind of reminded of the verse out of Micah chapter 6, verse 8, when it talks about, "What does the Lord require of thee, O man, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly?" And Nehemiah's been doing those things, and it's like the second that he steps away,
yeah,
all chaos breaks loose. And you're totally right. Like, I think we start off, you know, our Mondays, and we're like, man, I'm going to do things right this week, and I'm going to follow God and get off on the right foot. And maybe not even by Tuesday for me, it's like Monday at 10:02. Right. I'm like, oh no, I've already slipped up.
Right. No, yeah, I mean, you don't even give yourself till Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like Monday morning at 10. And the week starts for sure.
When we talk about this idea of like righteous anger, and you see it all throughout the scripture where God had a righteous anger, certain people that were walking with God had righteous anger. And I think we can unpack that a little bit of what exactly is righteous anger.
Yeah, that is a question. Like, we say that, you know, there's passages, right? Do not be angry, like be angry and sin not. And then we see Jesus turning over the temples, right? In some regard, Nehemiah is kind of like a proto-Jesus, right? Nehemiah comes in and he sees that they're desecrating the temple, and he's like, I will have none of that because God will have none of that. And that's, and it matches Jesus' fury at the money changers in the temple. And neither of them were in the wrong, though I don't know, like, I'm not so sure that we're called to pull people's beards out when we find them sinning. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that, Pastor Travis?
It depends on the situation. We'll just say that.
I mean, it's a strange method for sure. I don't know. The righteous anger is anger that cares about the things of God. Perhaps, what would you say is the difference between just regular old anger and righteous anger?
Yeah, I think it's what you're angry about, right? And if it's things that are unjust, that we know are godly justified things to be angry about, immorality, which Nehemiah is kind of addressing here, faithful disobedience or lack of faith in their disobedience. So, I mean, the question kind of came to my mind, like, if you want to be part of what God is doing, will you not be upset and angry or hate the things that he also gets upset and angry and despises? So I think if you kind of look at it through that lens, where it's like, okay, I can be angry, and this is a little bit of a confession time, road rage kind of stuff. If somebody cuts me off or goes too slow or waits at the four-way stop too long, I'm like, let's go! I get angry about that, but that's not an example of righteous anger. You know, we look at the abortion issue is still a fairly hot topic, and the sanctity of life, like, God values life at a different level than humanity and our culture values life. And those are things, when we look at them through the lens of God's eyes, that I think we can be angry about.
Yeah. Well, I think too, I agree, like, so often our anger isn't connected to what God has for us and God's best, really, what he's outlined in scripture. But for me, anyways, the test of righteous anger and just regular plain old anger is that when I try to fit the motives for my anger, when I try to justify my anger by God's best, right? Like, when I try to say, oh, this thing that's happened to me, this unjust situation, clearly, right, this is righteous anger because, and when I start justifying my anger, that's like the first sign of it not being righteous anger, I think. Because what you see in Nehemiah, he's not going to God saying, you know that I did the right thing, God. He's saying, I did the right thing. You know why I did it, God. And he's calling on God to remember him for the thing that he did for his name. And Nehemiah's anger has absolutely nothing to do with Nehemiah. And I think that for me is like the linchpin, right? When I'm angry and it has to do with me, it's clearly not about, you know, it is not righteous anger.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's almost, as weird as this is going to sound, it's almost like an anger that is somewhat compassionate, right? It's not self-focused for Nehemiah. He's upset about, well, in chapter or in verse 10, he's upset because the priests there aren't being supported anymore. And so those guys had to return back to their farms and their other means of livelihood to support themselves. And that caused them to neglect their duties at the temple. And that had an impact on the spiritual well-being and welfare of the people there. So he's looking at it in a bigger picture than it is of just himself, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not at all looking at himself. And I think that too, like, if we want to talk about the connection between Nehemiah's prayer, he prays twice, right, Pastor Travis? He prays twice in this chapter. And when he does that, he never is praying for, I don't know how to say it other than in recovery circles, right? I'm always going to plug Celebrate Recovery, right? Join us for Celebrate Recovery. If you don't, it's Monday nights at 6:30, right? But in Celebrate Recovery, one of the signs of finding recovery and freedom is that you no longer play the victim. You actually take responsibility for who you are, and that extends to the kinds of things that you pray for. You're no longer praying for so-and-so to change. You're actually praying for God to change you. And Nehemiah's prayer, in some regard, actually reminds me of a little bit of recovery prayer. He is so focused on what God has called him to do that he takes decisive action on sin. And then he says, God, I did this. You know that I love you, that I love your people. And remember me, I am taking responsibility for what I have done. There's none of this pointing fingers. It's only, I have been faithful to the thing that you have called me to do. And I think that's kind of a beautiful thing about Nehemiah. All the way through it, he is turning to God in every moment. You know, when Sanballat and Tobiah come and the opposition and all of these people come at him, he's never self-focused. And he also is never blaming others. He simply is saying, here I am, God, I've been called to do this thing and I will do it to the best of my ability. And that includes calling people out on their sin, which I don't know, Travis, it's a really hard thing for me to do. Do you like to do that? Is that a thing you like to do?
No, that's not one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
And what's interesting here is he prays, he outlines these things, he prays, he outlines some more of what's going on, and just talking about the kind of things that have been neglected because the Levites had been really just forced back into earning their wages in a different way. And the temple, the worship, that part was neglected. The Sabbath was neglected. And he says again in another prayer, like, remember me for this also, my God, and show me mercy according to your great love. So his first prayer is, remember this and do not blot out what I have done faithfully. So he talks about his faith as being part of this anger. He talks about, God, show me your mercy according to your great love. And like all these things just have this seasoning of grace in them, and just asking for God's grace upon this, to recognize what's going on, to continue to show him mercy and his love. And I think that's a big difference between just regular human anger over, you know, our rights being wronged, or what we perceive as our rights being wronged.
It's just hard to, I think for me, it's really hard to get into that space of prayer where I'm so focused on what God has. I guess I just, that's the moment of application for me. One, a sort of double check of what is the source of my anger? Is it truly about God or is it about me? And then the next step is, what am I saying in my prayer life about the thing that I'm angry for? Have I given the thing over to God? Have I truly turned it over to say, God, here it is for you to take care of. Use me if you will in this situation. More often than not, we're actually not called like Nehemiah to rip people's beards off, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's where I was kind of trying to correlate this point of grace, is like he's in this battle. He's seeing these unjust things, these things that aren't going the right way. And it's only through God's grace that we can win that fight with the argument, whether it's just in our hearts or in our minds or with somebody else. Like, it's grace that can win the fight between God's will and ours within these situations. And so I think that's a point for me that I really need to distinguish, is like, is it my will that I'm really angry about here? Is this really something that is one of God's wills for our lives?
Yeah.
And so the next chunk after that is where we get to the sweet beard pulling part. So there's guys from the tribe of Judah now that had married women from Ashad, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ammon, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair or their beards, and I made an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even when he was led into sin by foreign women, must we hear now that you are doing all these terrible, wicked things and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying these foreign women? Wow. It gets pretty heavy, yeah. Right? And then one of the sons of Jehoiada, son of Eliashib, the priest, the high priest, was the son of Sanballat and the Horonite. And I drove him away from me. And then he goes on to pray again. Remember them, my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So then he goes on to purify the priests and the Levites of everything that was foreign there. And he gave them duties again to their tasks. And he made provisions for their food and designated times for them to get the food and the first fruits of the offerings. And then he ends the whole chapter, the whole book, with remember me with favor, my God. And so I think out of that, like one of the big standouts for me is his righteous anger is desiring good. And it's good for God, first and foremost. He's trying to reestablish the right ways and the right things and the covenants that they had promised with God. And he's desiring good for the people too, because the temple and the worship had taken a big hit without the priest there to run things for the people.
Yeah. First of all, he takes sin so seriously, so more seriously, I think, than we often do, that it is no small matter to him that they have broken their covenant with God. And as you're pointing out, and scripture points out, they're neglecting the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is where God shows up. God shows up with his people. And he is so intent on calling the people back to God that even as he is, I don't know, even as he is rebuking them, he's reminding them that God's justice is not a thing to be trifled with. That when God demands holiness, that really is what he demands. I think that we often forget that. I think that if Jesus were to show up right now, he would be turning over a lot of tables. You know what yeah. I mean? And I think that that's another way that we can sort of get into this story a little bit more practically, is that we too, it isn't just that I sin on a Tuesday. It's that I don't take sin as seriously as I ought. And that for me is incredibly challenging about this story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we live in a culture, especially in America, where sin is very permissible. A lot of times it's even like showcased as more than just acceptable. And those ways we know don't work out well for us when we pursue those things and live our lives in that way. I think the big standout for me as we kind of close out that chapter is the things that really were causing his heart to be angered and agitated and restless were things, like we said, that weren't of himself. These were commandments and decrees that were from God. And Nehemiah knew, because he was around a lot of stuff and he worked with the king as the cupbearer before he got there. Like, he knows how life works well. And he knows that there are these cultural pulls away from walking with God and his decrees that make life a lot more difficult. And he's seen the destruction that come out of that. And that just really upsets him and unsettles his heart. And I think we become complacent a lot of times when, especially for me, when I see that stuff, the more you're around it, it's like the more benign those things become to you. And you just don't even have eyes to see them anymore.
Well, yeah. And two, just think of how weary Nehemiah must have been at this point, right? He's like 12 years in to dealing with these people who have, you know, required a lot of him. I think of that passage in Galatians where it says, don't be weary in doing good, but in due time you will reap the harvest. And I think that Nehemiah has this sort of long game in mind, right? He has this idea that he knows that God's justice will come and that what he's working for, even with the wearisomeness of the people, he still knows that God is worth it. And I think too, for me too, like that's part of the reason why he's so angry is because he gets the long game. He understands that it's not really about in the minute, right? It's about every choice in the moment, moment by moment, but it really is about God's best in the long haul. And he is willing to deal with a lot of trouble in order to do what's right. And I love Nehemiah for many reasons, but that's one of the reasons.
Well, and I love that you called out this idea of the long haul, because that's where we're at as people, you know, as a country, as a world. Like, we, things aren't right here. There's injustice. There is immorality. There are things that are never going to be right until Jesus returns. And that's the hope that we have and we cling to as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised that he was going to come back. And we know that when he comes back, he's the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's going to reestablish God's kingdom the way that it was meant to be, perfect, with peace, in love and community with him and with his people. And, you know, that's our encouraging thought for the day, is that Jesus is our hope, and he is coming back. And if you are in these places where you look around and you feel like, man, life is hard, the world isn't right, that's a hole, a God-shaped hole in each one of our hearts. And it, we get to see glimpses of it here and now, and we walk with Jesus. And if you're feeling that way, I would encourage you to pick up your Bible, read Nehemiah, read one of the Gospels. Mark is a great one to start out on. And just know that Jesus is our hope. We see these things of unjust nature in our world because it's not right, and it's not going to be right until Jesus returns. But we have him to cling to for our hope now until that happens. This has been Good News You Can Use with Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. We hope that you guys enjoyed what we talked about this week. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous episodes, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform. And as always, we'll talk to you next week.